Amen. Please do take your seats. And bands, thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning. You can go and find a seat as well. It is really good to be back here this morning, and I want to just take a moment at the very start to thank you so much for your prayers and support over the past couple of weeks. For those of you who don't know, myself and Becca have been self-isolating due to contracting this wretched virus that's been doing the rounds for quite a while now. And whilst I was reasonably unwell for a day or so, I'm pleased to say that apart from both myself and Becca feeling pretty tired all the time, we are otherwise fine. And it's really good to be back in the real world again. It's been a funny couple of weeks because I think at the start of the pandemic and as we've gone through it, there's been this expectation that when you catch COVID, you get 2 weeks off. That's right, isn't it? Quite a few people have known that. And it's been a chance to put your feet up and catch up on all of the various housework that you've needed to do, that you've been putting off, and the films and TV and everything. But I can safely say that wasn't my experience of the past 2 weeks. I've probably been able to do 80 to 85% of the things that I'd have otherwise done working here. So I haven't had much chance to binge watch all of the TV shows that I've been missing. I think the flip around of that is Becca has completed Netflix, which, if you know how big Netflix is quite impressive. But she has completed Netflix. But I did find a little pocket of time to rewatch a film that I've been trying to find for a very long time, if I'm honest. I had the DVD of it many years ago, and I remember watching it with my granddad, called End of the Spear, and I finally found that it was free to watch on Amazon Prime. Now, some of you may know this film, End of the Spear, and if you get a chance to, I would thoroughly recommend finding it and watching it. It is a little bit violent in places, but in short, it chronicles the real-life story of these people that we see here on the screens. Now, does anyone know any of the people that are on the screen right now? No. Okay. Well, on the left, we have a man called Jim Elliot. In the middle, we have a guy called Ed McCulley. And on the right, Roger Udarian. And they were American missionaries in the 1950s with Mission Aviation Fellowship, otherwise known as MAF. Now, they were sent to Ecuador along with Nate Saint and Pete Fleming, who aren't in this image. And the purpose of their trip was to reach the indigenous tribes who had never heard of Jesus. Now, they traveled with a boldness that came from understanding the charge that they were given by Jesus. And they understood the God whom they served intimately. They took the words Jesus said to go into all the world, and they lived them out through everything that they did. Their story, however, did not have a happy ending that we often associate with stories like this of people heading off around the world. For those of you who know their story, you'll sadly know what happened next. All five of the missionaries were killed by the very people who they tried to reach with the gospel. Their diaries tell us that they understood that they were going to face difficulties, and there are indications that they even expected that they would be harmed for what they were doing. And yet, they were bold enough in their faith, and they understood their calling so much that they went still to this area that they knew wasn't safe. Jim Elliot, one of the leaders of the trip, wrote this in one of his journal entries. He is no fool who gives what he cannot gain to keep what he cannot lose. Words that share a striking similarity to the words that Jesus speaks in part of the chapter we're going to be focusing on today from Matthew 10, verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. As we begin today, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to live and speak more boldly for Jesus Christ? Not everyone here will be called by Jesus to do what the missionaries pictured on the screen were called to do. But I believe the charge that we read about in Matthew chapter 10 is just as important to us today as it was to the disciples 2,000 years ago. Now, we're continuing our series going through Matthew's Gospel, with, of course, the chapter we're focusing on today being Matthew chapter 10. Up until this moment, we've seen Jesus come into the world, be baptized, call people to follow him, to be his disciples, given arguably the greatest sermon that has ever been given that's just as relevant today as it was all those years ago. And then last week, it was great to join in from home and hear Tim talk about Jesus performing amazing miracles, proving his power to each of us. And then we come to today. And in all honesty, I really struggled to know what part of Matthew chapter 10 to focus on, as there is just so much gold in this chapter for us to dig up and look through. I'm going to sum up the first part of the chapter that we're not going to take time this morning to look at, but do go away and get involved with the Word and read Matthew chapter 10 for yourself when we've left this building this morning. So at the start of it, Jesus empowers his disciples to heal every disease and cast out demons from people. He then charges them to go out to the lost sheep of Israel, to tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near, and make sure that when they go and do it, they rely on the goodwill of people rather than try and look after themselves. And then God says that Jesus says that there is a warning that they all have to follow. Verse 16, Jesus says to the disciples, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." And there's another part to this warning, that their faith will lead them to being arrested. However, the disciples shouldn't worry about what to say, because in those moments, the Holy Spirit will speak through them. Verse 20, "At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." So as you can see, there's quite a lot of bits to this passage, and it would have been great to spend a huge period of time breaking down just this one chapter, but alas, Tim said, I've got to do it just in one morning, in preferably 20 minutes or less. We are going to read the Bible together, though, now, and we're going to just look at six verses in the middle of Matthew chapter 10. And it's, like I said, a wonderful chapter. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 10 now? Turn it on if you need to with your phone. But if you haven't got a Bible with you or you haven't got your phone with you, then the words are on the screen as well for you to follow along with. So this is Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 26. "So do not be afraid of them," that is, people who persecute or may persecute us for our faith. "For there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus sent out his followers, his disciples, and now you and I. He gave us his authority. He promised us his power. And then he reminds us of our importance to God. And I believe this passage teaches us two main ways that we can live more boldly as we come more in line with the plans God has for each of us. The first of these is through following the teachings that Jesus has already laid out previously to us, to boldly spread the good news to others around us. And in verse 26, we see why we should have no fear in doing this. "So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known." Now, throughout the pandemic, we've looked numerous times at verses through the Bible that have said things like, "Don't be afraid, don't fear." And for many people, these have been real reassurances that God is with us, watching over us and comforting us in times of need. But Jesus' commands to us here presents a significantly more difficult challenge to each of us. Now, if I was to go around every person in this room and ask you what your greatest fear is, there'd be loads and loads of different things people would say. Some people might fear snakes. People like myself fear spiders. And I'd argue that these fears are absolutely rational for you to have, all right? But there are things that we're afraid of that maybe aren't things like spiders and snakes. We're scared of what people think about us. There's a fear of failure, a fear about what our future holds. And often this fear, these ones, can be really crippling. And if you've been in those situations, you'll know exactly what I'm on about. And these are things that Jesus talks about all through the Bible, saying of why we should focus on him and not fear those things in particular. Fear exists when we perceive something to be potentially dangerous or might cause us pain. It can become so crippling that we're robbed of our confidence, security, and joy as a result. And our life ends up shrinking as we gradually let fear control our thoughts and our actions. But when we read this passage here, Jesus is instructing each of us to not fear speaking out about him in the situations that we find ourselves in. When we read the Bible, we find comfort in Jesus because he's got our back in situations where our faith will be challenged by others. Three times we see Jesus say, just in this passage alone, fear not, fear not, fear not. This is something that we really have to take to heart. Now, please don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do. Even the Bible passage here says that one of the reasons we shouldn't fear is because the worst thing people can do is to kill us. But perhaps that's the kind of faith that we should all be striving for this morning. When Jim Elliot and Nate Saint went to the indigenous tribes in Ecuador, they knew these verses inside out, and yet they still went. We need to boldly speak the good news, because if we don't, then who will? Now, whilst I was at university, I worried a lot about this, and I ended up getting myself in such a muddle, thinking that people around me won't pay any attention to what I say, or perhaps even worse, they'll start to actively challenge me on the things that I say. They might give arguments that make me look wrong, and then perhaps what happens is you become the crazy Christian with no friends. But I'm really pleased to say that that wasn't the actual experience I ended up having when I shared Jesus with my friends. And I'm sure for people here, you've had experiences that are on both sides of that. There's been occasions when you've talked to people about Jesus and you found that they've just turned away from you. But actually, if you were to ask pretty much most people here, at some point you will have been able to have a good, positive conversation about Jesus with someone who you might have thought they're not going to want anything to do with this. There's an assumption, isn't there? There's an assumption that people may not agree with us, and that as a result, we might get pushed away from that community. But can't you see that if we're doing that, we're trying to guess what's going to happen? We're reacting to something that hasn't even happened yet. Jesus here is saying to us, look, I'm the one who is sending you out. Be aware of who I am. Understand where this message is coming from. I have equipped you through everything I've said to you. You know the truth about me. I've got your back as you go out into the world to boldly speak the good news. Now, I have been a little bit doom and gloomy so far, I'm aware. But I do want to give you some encouragement this morning. Because the second way that we can be more bold in our faith, and perhaps the reason why we can even talk about boldly speaking the good news, is that this passage also shows us why we should boldly trust in God. And in order for us to understand why we should trust God with everything we have, Jesus gives us this beautiful, beautiful illustration that we read about in the last couple of verses. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Now you might be thinking, what's all that about? I kind of get what you're saying, but just in case, can you explain what it means for me? And I get it. It's a bit of a confusing thing to hear out of context. But when we fit this little passage, these three beautiful verses, into the context of everything else Jesus is saying here, it all becomes a little bit clearer. The reason that we can be so bold in our faith is because Jesus knows absolutely everything about us. I did a little bit of digging here. I'm not very historical for any of you that know me, but I did do a little bit of digging here to find out why Jesus might have used sparrows as an example. And I think this is because a sparrow, back in biblical times, was the cheapest animal that you could buy at the market for meat. It was a really common food for people to purchase, and poorer families would have known exactly what the value of a sparrow is. And the answer is, not a lot. And yet, not one of those sparrows experiences harm without God being in control of that situation. There's a beautiful lyric in one of the modern Christian songs that says, if he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? Jesus loves us so much that even the hairs on the back of your head are numbered. And in some people's cases around this room, as I look around, the lack of hair is also known and numbered to equal zero. But God knows every single detail about us. And Jesus put these two facts together to prove a profound point. Even the cheapest, most common animal is under the care of God. And you are worth so, so much more than even the cheapest animal. God sees you, and no matter what season you find yourself in, he will make a way when it seems like there is no other way. He does this because to him, you are worth it. We see examples all through the Bible of people who have felt their faith was the stumbling block to them being able to be bold for Jesus, but every time God intervened and showed them how much he loved them and how much they meant to him and the value they had to continuing with the work that was set before them. Can you remember when Saul became Paul? Saul was someone that hated Jesus so much that he murdered Jesus' followers. But God was able to turn his life around, and he showed him just how much he loved him. And from then on, Saul spent the rest of his life growing the church and writing a lot of the New Testament that we read today. In his letter to the church in Corinth, he wrote about how we as the church are one body with many parts and all different functions. But because of his story, he was able to be bold in his faith and speak in a different way from anyone else could about what faith meant to him. He trusted in Jesus, and he believed in the importance of shouting it from the rooftops, the good news of Jesus, so much so that today we are still following in his footsteps all these years later. A message that started with Jesus and has continued on through Corinth to us this morning. Trust God. Trust in Jesus. Be bold in your faith this morning, tomorrow, and every day after that. I just want to share with you as I come towards the end a little story of someone who inspired me in my faith many years ago when I was a student. Now, I'm not sure many of you, in fact, I might bet no one here knows the person who's on the screen, but this is a lady called Miriam Swanson, or as she was known a few years ago, Miriam Swaffield. But she's someone who, in the UK, has definitely lived her life boldly for Jesus. She's led student work in churches all across the country, and more recently has led the Fusion movement, both in the UK and in America. But a few years ago, when I was at university, she was challenged by God to travel across the whole of the UK with no plan, no finances, no safety net, to visit every single university across the country in that, her camper van. Now, I had the pleasure of speaking to her back in 2014, and I was totally inspired by what she was doing. The lengths that she was willing to go to spread Jesus to students who didn't know him, and to equip Christians to share Jesus on campuses and beyond. She feared nothing. She didn't even fear the camper van breaking down. But her passion for discipling, her crazy love for God, and the way that she was totally connected to the mission set before her was infectious. And her story is exactly what Jesus has been saying to us in this passage. Now, I tried to find a video of this road trip that she was going on all across the UK, and there are some out there that chronicle the journey that she took, But instead, I was amazed to find a video that even more perfectly summed up exactly what I've been trying to share with you for the past few minutes. We're going to take a couple of minutes now to watch a short video featuring Miriam, talking about her journey, but also the story of somebody else. Let's watch together.
I'm on the road a lot with my job. I had this crazy idea to visit every university location in the country. One van, 2 years. With the aim to fuel and strengthen the student mission movement in the local church. And it's been a brilliant adventure. I'm actually from a sleepy little countryside town. And this is home. This is where I grew up. I used to come here for walks with my family, and I've got some great memories. I'm really conscious about having a faith that goes the distance. It's what I'm passionate to see in the lives of students up and down the country, committing to live for Jesus for the rest of their lives. And the journey will get tough sometimes. We wonder whether we can keep going. Sometimes it is easier to choose to blend in with our culture, with the crowd, our mates, become apathetic about living for Jesus. I recently heard about Nerta, and I was blown away by her story. Her journey of faith was a short one, but in that short time, she made it count. She was sold out for Jesus. Nerta was 17 and from Somalia in East Africa, one of the most dangerous places on earth. If you become a Christian there, you pretty much write your own death sentence. Nerta did just that. It's insane when you think that here you're learning to drive at 17, or planning for uni, or sorting what you're going to do with your mates on Friday night. When her parents found out about her new faith, they were livid. They were so angry they made her a prisoner in her own home, a place where she should have been safest. Her own family turned on her. They snatched her freedom, but they couldn't take away her love for Jesus. In the daytime, Nerta was shackled to a tree in the blazing sun. At night, they locked her up in a shed. It was pitch black and freezing cold. But Nerta refused to deny Jesus. For the next few months, her family beat her. They gave her drugs to try and alter her mind. Again, Nerta refused to deny Jesus. She wouldn't go back. They say that, in the end, gunmen were hired, and they shot her dead. At 17, she gave up everything because she saw something in Jesus worth living and dying for. When I think about Nerta, I am challenged to the core about the cost of following Jesus. We have a God who laid down his whole life, gave everything for us. I want to be part of a generation whose response to him is passionate devotion. We won't be turned back. We won't stop. We won't be detoured from our journey of faith.
Nerta risked everything for Jesus. Why? Because she loved Jesus more than anyone or anything else. And she knew the importance of living boldly for him. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear more stories of people who are living boldly for Jesus in very difficult circumstances as we focus on the work of Open Doors a little bit more. But for today, may we all be challenged by the incredible stories of people who've given everything for him and the words that Jesus has said to us through our Bible passage this morning. Let's be bold in our faith.
Let's boldly trust Jesus, and let's be asking him, Lord, where do you want me to go next? And what do you want me to do for you? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for believing in us. Thank you for the love that you show each and every one of us and for guiding us every step of the way. We would be lost without you. And I can't thank you enough for seeing the value in each person here and for having the desire to know everything about me. I pray that you would help each of us here to be bold in our faith. Show us what we can do to act on the unique experiences that each of us have gone through in order to proclaim the gospel to those around us. Stir up in us today a fresh sense of calling and renew our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.